It's the Max Show, live from the British Tech Network. It sounds like It's a Knockout. Yeah. The Echo. Yeah. If you don't know what It's a Knockout is, you've got to Google it. It's hilarious. But so not the bloke who presented it.
Who was it that presented it?
Stuart Hall, man.
Say, let's
don't,
get ready to
don't Google Stuart Hall. Don't Google Stuart Hall. We're the British Tech Network. We've over from the UK. It's first trip to Macworld. Absolutely loving it. And it's the Mac Show. Joining me to discuss the week in Mac, nothing's happened, but we've got Jeff Gallant.
Hey there. Just so you know, you drew the short straw. You have to sit next to me.
No, we can hold hands. I'm supposed to be kissing you, apparently, according to Batwench.
That's true.
She can get her own flights to come do that.
That seems only fair.
Yeah, you come into the bash, though.
I want to.
Yeah, no, you're all invited. We've got so many people. There's like 20,000 here. Maybe 25,000. So you're all invited at the bash. It's in my back garden in July. Just get flights over, and we'll Brian's coming. Yeah, and it's good. There's loads of beer. Next to him, Paul Wheatley, host of the Gamer Show and the Pocket Show on the network.
Yes.
You enjoying it?
It's awesome. This is the furthest west I've ever been. I normally come from that little area just above England.
No one understands a word you're saying.
it's very nice to be here. I'm not sitting and reading tweets, by the way. I've got the chat room up because we have folk watching this live feed back in Britain.
If you want to get in the chat room, it's irc.geekshed.net / British Tech Network.
Yeah.
And give them some grief.
And given it's about 10:30 over there just now, it's not that full, but there's a few folk in there.
Well, most of them have got no friends, so they don't go out anyway. So. And this is the first time you've been sober this week.
Let's assume I'm sober right now, in which case, yes, that is true.
And the other person who's sober for the first time, Adam Christensen.
I'm
from
sober all the time. What are you talking about?
Sobering all the time.
Oh, I was confused on those.
Now, you've been busy.
Points. I've been busy?
Yeah, you've been out around the... You've been doing
I've been
it properly.
Running around, doing my thing, grabbing interviews and talking to people and finding the cool stuff for those people who can't make it. All these lucky people get to be here, but there's tons of people who don't.
This dude here's asleep. Man, if the park bench is outside.
Cool. You guys are having trouble with that, right?
What, park benches?
Yeah, the homeless.
I can't find one to fit me. It's killing my back. With Julie.
I'll talk to the president about that for you.
Okay. If you lot, by the way, the only thing that bothers me is that the expectation from you guys is not low enough. If you're here thinking that you're going to hear really informed tech chat, it's over there.
And they might do from our American cousins, but not from me and you.
Yeah, we've also got a roaming mic here, thanks to the man at the back. There's the sound guy. He's cool.
Oh, good. So we can get questions.
We can get questions of everyone. You can have your opinions as well, because we're going to go through the week in Mac News and talk about the show and that type of stuff. So there we go.
Are we actually doing news?
Yeah.
Just before we start, the chat room is requesting you stroke your knee, Jeff. So, just, there we go. That's that done.
You're welcome.
You can move on then.
Right. So, nothing happened in the world of Mac this week. Not a thing.
It's all happening here.
I've been up and down this street, not seen a damn thing.
Well, there's the Microsoft
announcement,
of course.
Dude, we can't come to Macworld and lead with the Microsoft announcement.
No, you led with touching my knees.
Well, we did lead with that, that's true. So Macworld, first time here. First impression. You guys are old hands, though.
So what's your impression then?
Do you know, the thing, and I can make this sound and then you'll be negative, but everything in the US is bigger than we're used to. You know, like shows and any event and things like that, stadiums and all that kind of stuff. And I was expecting bigger, I have to say. It's awesome, don't get me wrong, but I was expecting a lot bigger than this.
Thanks for your input, Paul.
Get out. Go.
Ooh, Kent's just writing a hate email to me.
We're sitting here on one end of the hall. I can barely see the other end of the hall.
No, this is as big as... We've got a big place at home.
I know, I'm just wondering. You know, what, I'm trying to picture false. What was in your head. Like,
well, I was expecting maybe two or three halls like this.
No, I mean, we've got a big place at home called the NEC, which is, one of the halls is about the size of this. And to be particular, the tech show that comes to us is only one hall plus a tiny little bit in the lobby. So it's the same size as that, which
is... And that's
all tech, that's not just Mac.
I was expecting to be overkill.
It was the food that did it, after all the food portions.
I've not been hungry since I landed.
Dude, can you offend people? Dude, can you offend people when we're leaving? Hosts. They have guns in this country.
That's true. You know, when we all go to grade school, elementary school,
you
we're
get
taught
a gun.
How to shoot.
Yeah.
Because they said the British were coming. And
thanks to Apple, you now get an iPad 4.
That's right.
And a gun.
And a gun.
Cool.
God bless America.
Yeah, I love it. I've got to say, I'm really enjoying it. There's some cool stuff around. The little tiny village up here where there's like small stands, there's a lot of stuff I've walked past. I'm like, oh. But I've been coming here, I've been going somewhere else, and I haven't had time to look. So I'm really looking forward to that. I don't see me getting around this in like a day. Okay.
No, I get it. We're not big enough for you. No, fine.
I thought you were going to talk about the food portions. I thought you were going to talk about the food portions as well. When I stopped the plane, I stepped off the plane, I was 140 pounds. This is just Mel's diner.
Mel's diner is awesome. I don't know if any of you have been it's fairly incredible.
It's great. You can feel your arteries hardening while you're eating it. I went to Apple yesterday. That was cool. Did the campus. Had lunch at Cafe Mac, which was brilliant. None of the clothes fit me. That's depression.
That's because you'd already been to Mel's.
You travel halfway around the world to go to the place that you adore to buy some paraphernalia that's going to look cool on you, and it makes you look like a tire.
You're not going to believe me when I say that's the style.
No. All right, so the week in Apple, then. We've got the show, which is absolutely fantastic. Great job by Paul Kent and the gang. Really, really good. But trying to kind of shoot underneath the fact that the timing was amazing. You know, Macworld's opening at 11 o'clock, so Microsoft always schedules something for like 10 a.m., but no, it's 11 today. So 11 o'clock, iPad Office, Office 365 for iPad came out, and it was kind of quiet, actually, but then we were kind of coming in here, and we had a little chat at breakfast over it with Julie and with Paul Shadwell there. First impressions, have you had a go? You wouldn't have had a go yet. None of us have, so.
I haven't had a chance to look at it, but
I didn't even know it happened.
Oh, yeah,
this
there you go.
This is the first time I'm hearing the news.
Adam Christensen on the bleeding edge of tech.
I was doing interviews. I was in here at 11. I was talking to Drobo.
Right. Don't get embarrassed. It was a joke, dude. Anyone downloaded it? Anyone had a go yet or used it? Oh, that's the next 20 minutes.
Do you
screwed,
need
then.
An Office 365 subscription for this?
We were hoping you were going to tell us. Anyone out there? Hello? No? Okay.
What we do know is that you have to have an Office 365 subscription to use it. However,
fail.
It's a little bit of
fail.
However, you can view and present for free.
Fail.
How could
so Microsoft waited years after everyone else released Office-compatible applications that are native for the iPad, and they come out today while we're all here doing this and we're not paying attention to them with a product that requires an Office 365 subscription. It's basically the iPhone app on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Fail.
Is that what they did? So it is what we thought it might
be. Because
exactly we talked
what
about
we're afraid of.
This was rumored to be coming, and I said the thing that they were going to need to do, if they really wanted it to be successful, is it needs to be a natively designed, you know, made for iPad version or iPhone version of Office. If it's just, you know, a wrapper around the 365 stuff, I mean, Pages and Numbers and all those work great on a touch interface because they were designed for it. And it's the same problem. Sorry, it's the same problem I think they had on the Surface when they launched on the Surface, because you have a touchscreen device, but the version of Office is really just the desktop version with this thin kind of touch layer. You know, I can touch things, but the workflows don't work like that in touch, and that's something that Apple gets very intimately. That's why we have different versions of the operating system that function differently for the kind of screen that you're on. So I have to play with it. I don't know what they've implemented, but if that's all they've done. Then yeah, I
well,
totally
agree. Paul Thrust tweeted out saying it's a good-looking app. Get over it. You know, it's.
I don't think it's just a wrapper. I mean, I'm from not having seen it, but everything that I've read so far kind of suggests that you have actually designed a ribbon to the point that I've seen a few people come in and that it would be nice to see that interface on the Mac version of Microsoft products as well, because they do seem to have done something. But that basically is how
Well, I have a subscription, so I bought one. Yeah, but I bought it. The reason I ended up getting a subscription, I went on the trial. It's about to end. It actually ends next week, but I think I might actually keep it. Somebody sent me a document. I needed to open it in Pages, but they had the Office fonts. And I didn't have any of the fonts because I hadn't had Office installed for years. So I subscribed just to get the fonts.
What's the one that begins with C that's their font?
Calibria.
Calibria. You can't get it anywhere.
Calibre?
Yeah.
Calibri.
So we use Brushscript instead. Comic Sans. It's the same.
Oh, my God.
Microsoft, apparently, though, there is in-app purchases. And they're paying the 30% cut to Apple for these in-app purchases.
So what you're saying is you can pay to level up in Office on the iPad?
That appears to be it. You get it free, providing you pay for it.
You get, like, XP points?
Oh, wait, are you saying so I can in-app purchase for my 365 subscription?
It says Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is apparently more than willing to work with Apple's requirements over the 30% subscription. But what I'm reading in that is the fact that there's in-app purchases in 365.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're... I mean, that's actually really smart. If they're letting you sign up for 365 from within the app and pay with your iTunes, that would be a good, nice thing for them to do. Because if I download the app and now it says, oh, you have to have a 365 subscription, if I want to buy that, I should be able to do that right there and just go. So I'm hoping that's what that means.
It's free to download to start with from the App Store, but Home Premium is $10 a month or $100 a year for 5 tablets, 5 computers with an Office 365 personal subscription, good for 1 computer and 1 tablet at $7 a month or £70 a year, $70 a year. I mean, who's really in the audience kind of that bothered about being able to interact with Word documents, Excel documents, etc., that they're willing to fork out $100 a year for this?
Ask the guy that's asleep.
There's a lot of shaking of the head here. Okay, not the target audience. Anyway,
yeah, we've got
thumbs down there. I'm going to fall off the stage now. This isn't going to be pretty. Is this on? Is this on?
Yes, it's on.
It's on. Who's got a comment to make about... here we go. What's your comment, sir?
Well, we don't use Office or Office apps at all. We haven't used them for years. We've moved on to many other things that just work better.
But do you ever interact with people that are sending you Word files and stuff like that? But I mean, these are all opening in Pages. They're all opening in Pages on the iPad. So,
yeah,
so where's the need to have this link?
We can open Word documents or spreadsheets or whatever, but we don't use them. We can open them in anything. But this is a good strategy for Microsoft with all the corporates who are slow to change. Yeah. I can see, you know, they'll make plenty of money out of that. But consumer side and in the startup space where we are, we don't use Office apps. They're unproductive to us.
Yeah. That accent, you must be from New Mexico, right?
Of course.
But now, Paul Shadwell's here. You're saying that you've got colleagues who are gagging for this at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
They won't use anything else, that's the problem. They're business financial users and they want Office and they don't care how long they have to wait for it. So I think, I don't know if they'd be happy, but certainly they'd be interested.
Is there anyone that is going to get this, that is going to buy it? Here we go. Man down the back here.
He's thumbed down before. He's just
I don't think he's going to buy it. I will defend it next, though. I'll tell you why I think it's important.
Hang on a sec. Go ahead, Adam. Oh, you want to do next?
I'll do it next. Yeah, let him
after
go.
You, sir.
No, I'm not going to buy it because of the fact that for years I paid for Microsoft Office. I paid $200 for Microsoft Office 3 years ago, and what? I have to pay another $99 a year for, you know, Office 365? It's junk. And, you know, they're late to the party. So, you know, it's yes, Microsoft was great 10 years ago, but there's so many other, you know, products. Pages has finally come into its own, and you know, people are just not going to pay these prices for Office 365. I don't understand. Office 365 is a rental thing, but they're coming out with a new Office suite in the next couple of months. So I don't understand it. What, I'm going to chuck off $200 for the new Office and then have to pay $99 a year?
So you're no.
Don't
you
hold back. What do you really think?
No, I think the problem here is, I'm talking to the people here, is I think it's probably the wrong group of people that are going to be excited about Office. It's Paul's coworkers. It's the folks who maybe they're Mac at home, but they're forced to use PCs and Windows at work, and that's the environment they live on, and they're needing to have native support for Windows formatted documents. But they want to be able to take those and use them on their iPad, use them at home. And you've been able to do that pretty good with Office on the desktop. But more and more people are migrating to tablets as their home devices. They might not even have now a computer at home. They might just be going with a iPad and using, you know, the machine at work for that. Now they have a way to go back and forth. I think that's why like OneNote was so exciting to a lot of people too. If you live in that Microsoft universe, you're going to want it everywhere, just like we want, you know, iWork documents everywhere. So, you know, I do the same stuff with iWork, but again, I don't know that, you know, the diehard Mac Apple users is that audience, but that other audience, I think, is that's a huge market. And a lot of those people aren't buying Surface tablets to Apple's benefit, they're buying iPads.
But so because it's been so long, have they not found something else? You know, have they maybe missed the boat, as the gentleman was saying back then, you know, it's been quite a few years. All these people who need the Microsoft product, they've found something, they have to have been doing something else in the meantime.
Well, okay. While I've been bagging on Office for the iPad, I have to say it's actually smart that Microsoft released it. A lot of people have moved on. They're using the iWork apps on the iPad. They're using other native apps that are Office compatible on the iPad. But there's the whole business world that they probably have to have the actual Microsoft products available before they can start bringing in products like iPads in their regular business environment. So having this available is a good thing because there's a segment of the market where it's actually necessary. So I'm glad it's here. I'm just really disappointed to hear that it's just another Office 365 interface.
Cool. Anyone definite buy? Definite yes. Quite willing to part with $100. Will we talk to you? Julie, you're a yes. Why would you be an absolute?
Well, I have absolutely no interest in it myself, but I used to work for an organization that was deep into Microsoft's pocket, and I actually think this announcement is good news for Apple because that means that they will be able to keep the iPads that they have been using for the last couple of years in kind of a hobbled state, as opposed to switching over to Microsoft Surfaces, which was starting to become an option. So with this announcement, suddenly those iPads are going to continue to be part of that environment instead of getting squeezed out.
Yeah, good point. Anyone come back on that before we move on? Nope.
Let's get off Microsoft.
Yeah, let's get off Microsoft.
What else we got?
According to Mac Rumors, it says here, iPhone 6 likely to launch as early as September.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sure.
It would be good.
Move it on.
Yeah, next story.
Retina display on the 13-inch. Have we talked about Retina displays on the 13-inch MacBook Air?
Yeah, that was announced, wasn't it, this week?
Yeah, I can't say they're going to do that because they're not going to want to make it thicker, and I can't see how they're going to manage that without increasing the battery.
They can take out the optical drive. That frees up space for more battery.
No, it's in the air that they're
on
talking
the air.
About it.
On the air?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have a totally different theory.
And
I'm sorry because I really wasn't listening to what you were saying.
Well, there's no change.
Retina displays on the air, right?
So my theory is no Retina displays on the air, but we'll get the Retina display, or we'll have the Retina display will be a distinguishing factor between the MacBook Pro line and the MacBook Air line, because the optical drives are going to go away completely very soon. I think we'll see some sort of redesign to the MacBook Pro, which gives it a body that is closer to what we have on the MacBook Air, and you need to have very distinct features to let consumers know which product is which. They're not going to go back to the days when we had the Quadra and the Centris and the LC and the Performance, where you couldn't tell what computer was what. So I think the Retina display may be a distinguishing factor.
So it's not going to come to the Air because it's only going to be in the Pro line.
Right. And now that I've said that, next week Apple's going to release a Retina MacBook Air.
Thank you. I think
you're welcome.
Plus, I just bought an Air.
I think Apple wants to move everything to Retina.
Oh, sure.
You know? And I
but
it seems
I don't
like
think
the natural
that
next
going to
progression to me.
Who's got an Air?
Yeah, it's not going to be right away, but yeah, sure.
No one's got an Air.
I have one.
All right, here we go. Air. Do you think that needs a Retina display?
No, I don't think it needs retina display, but I haven't gotten hooked on it. I know that there are a lot of other people who, once they've used a retina device, they say they can't use anything else, but I think it's just fine.
If they put a retina display on the MacBook Air, I would sell my current Air and buy the crap out of the new one as fast as I could.
Yeah, I just bought a maxed out MacBook Air, and I've got to say, it flies. I'm doing video on it, I'm doing Logic on it, they're open at the same time, and it's flying. It did a video that we posted the other day. Admittedly, it was 720, but it crunched 13 minutes of video in about 6 minutes. So that was pretty good. Anyone excited about an iPhone 6? No, that's nothing. All right, here we go. Come on, Brian. Why are you excited?
Hi.
I just want to note there was a sea of hands, both of you.
Well, I guess for me, basically, I want to see where they're going to go with the Touch ID, basically, making sure that's continuing. And of course, I'm sure it's going to be doing. And if they end up going with a little bit larger size phone, which I kind of have a feeling they're going to have to do because of the battery life issues they're currently on with the current iPhone right now, anyway. So, you know.
I'm sorry, yeah. But, yeah, that's right. Basically, the thing is that they actually have a little bit larger phone because of that. So, you know, that's basically what's, I think, they end up pushing the bigger size and going for the 6, basically, is what I'm thinking. Basically.
You've got a lot of strong opinions about
the
size.
Is that what it is? Yeah, it's all about the size. You know, I guess everybody but me wants a big giant phone. I have no idea.
I'm with you, Adam.
I'm really hoping there's been two big rumors, right? That they kind of have two sizes that they're playing around with, and it's going to be somewhere between 4.7 and 5.7, I think, something like that, depending upon which source you listen to. If they make it a 5.7, this will be probably the first iPhone that I don't buy. I've owned every single model since then. That's just way too large for me. 4.7 I can see them doing, especially if they go with a thinner bezel and some of the designs we've been seeing. That could work for me. But I've never had a need to have a bigger screen on my phone. I've never held my phone and went, this is not good enough. And I like to be able to keep mine in my front pocket. So if it gets too wide, that's just not going to work.
I think the bigger phone, the attraction of that was the CarPlay. You know, you wanted a bigger phone in the car for the navigation, but now you've got CarPlay integration. That necessitates less, perhaps. Jeff, bigger phone?
No bigger phone, please. No bigger phone.
Okay.
And we don't need bigger displays on our iPhones for car integration. That's what CarPlay is for.
Yeah.
You get the display that's built in and then just link up in your car.
Right, okay. Cool. Last week.
See, I don't think anything bigger than kind of the S3. So last year for about 6 months I carried an S3 for work reasons. I actually quite liked it. I didn't think I would like that bigger screen, but when I was using it I actually quite liked it. More than happy to have my iPhone when the project finished, but I don't think I could use bigger than the S3. I don't know what's the S3 like, or 4, something like that. No bigger than that, but I could go
back. Just so I'm clear, I think I'm probably wrong. They're probably going to do a big 5.7 because I go around and I see what friends and family are buying, what consumers are buying, and they're buying the big phones. They like them. So I think I'm in a minority of folks who really don't like the larger form factor. I think there's more of them than there are of me.
When are we going to get cut off? When do we have to finish? No, we're okay. We'll just keep going until they throw us out. Right, we do a thing on the British Tech Network every week called The Cool Thingy. And The Cool Thingy is anything you like at all about anything around the Apple sphere. It could be a film on iTunes, that kind of stuff. And we're at a show. I mean, who here thinks they have got The Cool Thingy from the show? Who's got a gadget that they've already picked up that they're kind of like, this is the must-have? Anyone? Guys?
So, well, we've already talked about this because we've been on a live stream prior to doing this show. And it's there's a booth just down there, and I forget the name, is it Akiko?
Akiko.
Akiko.
Yeah.
And they have a Thunderbolt hub. So it's easy change, so it's in and out. But then there's also USB 3, there's eSATA, FireWire, and USB 2 on there. And apparently you can daisy chain up to 6 of them. So in that scenario, you then got, that'd be 6 Thunderbolt ports. 6 eSATA ports, 12 USB ports. Why you would ever need all these, I don't know. My point is that it's available. And I think it's quite interesting to see these hubs coming out now, because I think that's the first one I've ever seen. I don't know if any of you guys have seen one elsewhere. And I thought that was really cool. Yeah, I mean, I had no use for it, I have to say, and it was cool.
What was kind of interesting was the there was six ports on the unit, and I was talking to the guy and I said, but that's just six devices, so you only got one bus in, one bus out there, so that's it. And he was like, no, I don't think so. And the CTO guy came over and he said, no, because this device is the one device. So you can actually have six of these together, daisy chained if you want in the Thunderbolt, because it's in and out, and you can have six devices in each of those. Plus you've got FireWire and you can daisy chain the FireWire. And I'm like, man, I could take over the world. I'm that server room on Skyfall.
Right.
Yeah, uh-huh. Those are all linked with these devices, I reckon. Just daisy chained. Yeah. No?
So it's a cool one, I think.
10 minutes? That long? I thought you were going to cut us off straight away. I'm surprised we lasted this long. I thought there'd be a riot and we'd be pulled off the stage. I think there was a guy at the back went to look for a length of rope, but we're going to have us all hanging. Anyone else? Have you seen the must-have? But you've done a lot of moving around, not so much Jeff. I touched your knee again.
There's always a lot of cool things.
Is there anything that stands out so far that you're like, wow?
Some people I haven't been able to talk to. You know, I want to go check out. It's a cool thing. There's been a lot of things this time around, I think, that I'm not sure what the application is, and I need to get over and talk to the folks. So, yeah, you know, like the infrared, the heat camera over here, you know, the iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, we're
case.
Only
that
half a day in here,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was cool. There's also a lot of great stories. So what I like to do when I come here is sit down and talk to the people who build these products. And they have a lot of really great stories. There's a couple guys from Arizona who are doing bamboo iPad docks and laptop stands and stuff like that, desk stands and stuff like that. Beautiful, beautiful stuff, you know, all hand done. You should go check them out over there. Now I'm blanking, of course, on the name of the product. I have it in my notes. I posted it on... If you go to mattcast.today, there's the name
nice
of the company.
Nice plug, dude.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I forget.
I'm mutilating it. Well, that's the other problem, is you see so many cool things. Another guy I visit every year is the guys over at Bear Extender. They have a great story. So they started the company over at Berkeley, which had a Wi-Fi network called BearsNet, because they're the California Bears. And students were having problems bringing their laptops, reaching the Wi-Fi access points. So they built a little USB device that you could hook up to your Mac via USB, and it was higher power than your built-in airport. So you could extend the range and you could get to the network. So they've been constantly evolving their products, and now they have a Wi-Fi range extender that they're going to be doing. So if you've ever used an Airport Express base station, and I tried to do this for a while, they're hard to configure, they're hard to set up, they're not necessarily reliable all the time for extending your network. It's called the Bear Edge. So you put it on the edge of your Wi-Fi network, and it'll extend the range of your Wi-Fi. But what's great is they thought about the software integration. So they have a simple web interface. You plug it in, you connect to it with some information on the side of the thing, and you just hook it to your Wi-Fi network, and then you're extended. That's it. And now it's extending the range of your Wi-Fi network, and it has an external antenna, so you're going to get a better signal going across. So there's innovative guys that are doing like that, and it's interesting to see the progression. So, you know, they started out student at Berkeley, and now they're here. This is like their third or fourth generation of the products.
Yeah, that's the show feel for me. Yeah. You know, like the small stuff over there has been where I've been most pulled in, most caught by eye, that kind of stuff. Jeff, I know it's early days again. Anything that's a cool thing for you?
You know, I've had a chance to see like three things on the floor because my schedule was so crazy.
You've been talking.
Yeah, I was talking. I saw one thing that's a Kickstarter project, so it's not out yet, and I'm really curious to see how this works out. And it's called the Ring, and it's a Bluetooth ring that goes on your finger and then connects back to your iPhone and becomes a control interface for your iPhone. So you can put this ring on your finger and then draw letters in the air and it'll convert into text on your iPhone, and you can use it for navigation on your iPhone also. So it looks very interesting, and I'm curious to see if it actually works out.
They were having trouble with their demo. They're still working on it. They're on Kickstarter. They're working on, I think they're fully funded, but they're doing extended funding so they can get the product built. It does look really cool. That was another one of those that, though, like I said, you see these products and you don't quite know the application yet. I know the applications are out there, but the technology has to get out there for you know, people to be able to play around with it and figure. And what's great, too, about talking to a lot of these guys is they're doing developer APIs so that all of this technology can be integrated into different apps. So when an app developer has, you know, the connection, okay, that would be perfect for my app, they're going to be able to integrate it. And just to plug, iSkelter is the folks that make the Bamboo docs and workstations.
Right.
So
yeah.
iSkelter.com.
Yeah, so Pat Lynch in the chat room says that you'll probably quite enjoy the Bamboo case because she knows how you like your wood.
This is a family show. We're kind of done. I want to give a shout out. If you haven't been to them, please go over to the Sennheiser stand. Sennheiser USA have kind of sponsored us this week a little bit. We've got a shotgun mic from them that they're selling over there. There's like $70 off this today on there. But that is the most beautiful mic you will ever see. It is absolutely gorgeous. They've lent us that. They even gave us the batteries because we couldn't get any batteries. So please go over and check them out. And also tweet out to Sennheiser US to say thanks very much for their sponsorship. That's really helped us. Also, Elephant LE, they need a better URL, but Elephant ELE over on the far side there, they've given us some stands to help us mount the shotgun mic as well, so please go and check them out. They've been great. And also, Paul and I are guest speaking this week. I'm on tomorrow afternoon at 3:15 doing 3 o'clock doing Maximizing OS 10 for photography, and Paul's doing a talk on prototyping on Saturday morning at 10. And in our speaker packs, Square Jellyfish gave us a mount which is absolutely perfect for the iPad Mini, and we've been doing recorded interviews and stuff like that, so please check them out. Please say hello to them on the stands, and please say thank you on our behalf if you can.
I am.
You got another one, yeah.
Fitness, no, that was today. wearable technology, what's hot, what's not. That's tomorrow afternoon. Oh, I hope it's not at the same time as yours. I think we're off.
Me too. I need the people. There's a beer for everyone that comes as well, by the way.
Score.
Yeah.
All right, well, if we're at the same time, I'll skip mine and come to yours for a beer.
The way I figure it, I can carry 10 beers. So that's fine.
Yeah,
that's what I'll need.
That's true. Well, 11 if I show up.
Where can we get a hold of you? Adam.
I'm Adam Christensen. I do a podcast called The MacCast. You can find me at maccast.com. Also, just look for MacCast on iTunes.
Paul.
So I'm on the British Tech Network. I do the Gamer Show and the Pocket Show on that network. And you can find me on Twitter at Paul Beamuth.
They still have no clue what you said.
Not a clue, no.
The guy
but
from New Mexico
good.
Did. And Jeff.
All right, I'm Jeff Gamet from Mac Observer, so macobserver.com. And you can find me on Twitter and app.net, jgamet, both places, Apple Context Machine. We have Communicators Podcast, The Big Show, The Mac Show. Google me. I'm like everywhere.
Fresh Brewed Tales.
Fresh Brewed Tales. Yeah, go check that out. I talk about coffee shops and the stupid things I see people do there.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, E-W-E-N-R-A-N-K-I-N. We're the British Tech Network. You can get us at britishtechnetwork.com. We broadcast every week. We do live shows. You can go in the chat room. You can watch us. We don't cover a lot of tech, I have to say. This is the most tech we've ever covered on the Mac Show. It's the most Mac we've ever covered on the Mac Show.
Just before you finish, do you want to show your phone?
No. I bought it for the camera, okay? I bought it for the camera. I don't
know.
We'll be around after just got any questions or anything like that. Thank you to the 100,000 people that turned out tonight. It was absolutely brilliant. Superb. That's it.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.